Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Thinking Like a Bank, where we show you how to think like a bank using the same strategies and principles that banks use to help you find more financial freedom in your life. I'm your host, Sari Ibrahim. So some of the core principles we talk about thinking like a bank include investing or owning real estate, saving on taxes, having safe and predictable income, and others. And for today's episode, I really wanted to touch on investing in real estate, specifically investing in real estate passively. So I have with us a special guest today. His name is Tate Durier. Tate is an active real estate investor with experience in single family and multifamily properties with heavy value add components. He's also experienced in analyzing and passively investing in development, self-storage, and multifamily syndications. Tate founded Turbine Capital in 2020 to help advance the financial aptitude of his colleagues and to provide direct access to superior investing opportunities. Tate is a captain, instructor, and evaluator on the Airbus A321 for a U.S. major airline. When not flying or reviewing deals, he could be found traveling the world, skiing, snowboarding, surfing, skydiving, and sailing. Tate, welcome to the show.
Hey, Sari, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Thank you. So some of our key principles, you know, as mentioned, of thinking like a bank is investing in real estate. And this is why I really wanted to have you on the show to share kind of your real estate investing expertise. But before we jump into all the real estate investing stuff, tell us a little bit about your background.
Yeah, so I am an airline pilot as a background. I fell in love with flying at a really young age. I have some uncles who are airline pilots. My grandfather was actually an airline pilot as well. So I started flying when I was a kid and always just loved the lifestyle and loved flying airplanes. And so I had kind of a second passion, which was finance and real estate. As a kid, I read Rich Dad Poor Dad when I think I was 12 years old. And really was fascinated by the business world and the investing world. And had I not gone into flying, I probably would have been a full-time real estate entrepreneur out of college. But flying definitely lured me in, and it's been an amazing ride. It's been really, really fun ever since, 18 years old, flight instructing and having access to small aircraft, flying all over the country. And then later on in my career, moving up into turboprops and eventually getting on with a major airline in my early 20s. It's been incredible. But now I'm very fortunate to be able to do both. I get to fly airplanes and I get to play in the investment space. And so I've sort of been practicing my passion of real estate on the side. And as of last year, with the starting of my company, Turbine Capital, really in a meaningful way, trying to bring that to more of my aviation professional colleagues.
Yeah, definitely. It's awesome. I think it's really cool that you're a pilot and also a real estate investor. And I know that you founded Turbine Capital. Now, what made you want to make that the bridge between investing in real estate to starting your own private equity real estate fund?
Yeah, that was actually, that idea came to me at a conference where I started learning about passive investing, and I had been investing passively in a few syndications, and it just was this revelation to me, because before, I really do enjoy the active stuff. I enjoy buying, the process of buying and managing, not property managing, but asset managing my own rental properties. But as that portfolio grows, it becomes more and more work, and the passive investing is very attractive because it's completely hands off, and it's an amazing world. And the idea came to me because at this conference, I met a couple other people that had similar structures as it relates to, you know, physician groups, where they pool a bunch of physicians together and then they invest as a large entity. And it just seemed like a really great opportunity to bring a fantastic investment vehicle to a demographic of professionals that doesn't necessarily have obvious access to it and aren't really familiar with that world of investing. That's just, it's been great for me, and it's a nice opportunity to bring that to my colleagues.
Yeah, definitely. And who are some of your typical investors?
Typical investors would be, I actually have an anesthesiologist who's an investor with us. It's not just airline pilots. The demographic is kind of the high income professional realm. You know, I mean, passive investing, if I don't know how familiar your audience is with syndication investments, but these are typically better suited for higher income W-2 professionals because the minimum investment amounts are a little bit higher. So, I mean, if you're just getting started, you know, buying your own duplex or something and doing kind of a house hacking model is definitely probably better. But if you are, you know, a pilot, a doctor, an engineer, an entrepreneur, someone who's very good at their W-2 profession and doesn't necessarily want to go out and figure out how to be a real estate investor full time, it's a fantastic way to just diversify your portfolio and add some cash flow.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's a good point that you want to kind of, if you're a, you know, high earning W-2 employee, you want to stay within your area of expertise. Like if you're a dentist, you're a doctor, you're a lawyer. So this way you don't have to go out and kind of learn how to do real estate on your own. Now, like to kind of back up a little bit, what are some of the differences between active investing and passive investing?
Yeah. So if you've ever heard the term other people's money, right? You know, in active real estate investing, you know, you want to invest with OPM, other people's money, right? To so that you can grow your portfolio faster. Well, investing passively is essentially being the other person. Instead of you going out and finding, you know, a great deal, going through all the work to do your due diligence and find financing and get insurance and close on the property and then hire a property manager or even worse, manage it yourself. There's an operator that does that and you are simply the money partner. So in the passive investing world, you're just wiring the money out. All of the due diligence and the vetting of the deal is on the front end for you, making sure that you trust the operator and that you agree with their business plan and their investment thesis. And once you wire the money, you're done. I mean, you're hands off. You are a limited partner, meaning that you have no say, you have no voting rights. You've handed the deal off to this operator who's a professional and is probably much more qualified to operate this deal than you are as a pilot or doctor or lawyer. And you're simply the money partner and you get ACH deposits and you split the profits of the deal with the operator. And in a lot of cases, these operators are so good at what they do that they actually make up for their economics. So what I mean by that is, say it's a 70-30 split where the investors, the passive investors are getting 70% of the profits and the operator is getting 30%. There are many times where I've seen where an operator, because of how skilled they are at negotiating and operating that deal, they make up at least an extra 30% in profit by operating it skillfully versus, you know, you maybe me and a friend say, hey, we want to go buy this, you know, $4 million self-storage deal. We don't know the first thing about, you know, running actually on the ground, boots on the ground, running a self-storage deal. We know how to analyze it and make sure that we place our money with a good operator and a good deal, but we're not experts in operating self-storage, for example.
Wow. Okay. Now, in terms of like when somebody wants to get into passive investing, what are some things that they need to look out for to make sure that they're getting into business with the right person?
So you hit it on the head, the right person. You know, that's number one. You know, if you want to get into passive real estate investing, before you look at the deal, before you look at the market, before you look at any of the numbers, the people are the very first thing that you need to vet. You know, there, unfortunately, in the last 10 years, a rising tide has lifted all ships. And so there are a lot of syndicators out there, operators out there who are relatively new in the business, have taken less than conservative approaches to their underwriting and bought deals that aren't necessarily great deals. But they look like geniuses in the last 10 years because they've returned a bunch of capital to their investors, but it's not due to the fact that they know what they're doing or that they're buying right deals. It's because the market as a whole has seen this massive run up in values, cap rate compression, and it's been a great time to invest in real estate over the last 10 years. I think while the next 10 years will be great, and you know, I don't think that we're going to see any across the board reduction in asset values, we have to be more careful as investors over the next decade to make sure that we pick skilled operators that know how to know how to operate deals in any market, because there will be some, you know, some fallout from people that have overextended themselves in the last, especially 3 to 4 years, buying deals that don't have much meat on the bone, so to speak. So the first thing to circle back to your question is the people, the operator. So creating those relationships, if you go through a capital group such as mine, you know, we have those relationships with top-notch operators. We put a lot of effort into going to conferences and to in-person meetups in order to build relationships with these people. We do a lot of background investigation on their track records and what they've been able to do, not just in good times, but bad times. And then we also go very deep into due diligence on the deals themselves. So going through a conduit such as Turbine Capital, where we are a capital group that serves as a conduit between the retail investor and the operator, can kind of keep you safe, especially in the beginning. I like to say that my company is the barrier between you and a bad decision. And because we're investing as a large capital group, we can often negotiate better terms for our investor group. And so the retail investor is actually getting the same economics as they would going direct to the sponsor anyway. So that's one answer. The easy answer is come through a company like ours. The harder answer is, do your research. There's some great books out there on due diligence, on passive investing, and really, really understanding it before, you know, placing your money with someone, because it really is, you're going to be in bed with them for the next 5 to 7 years. And it's not a liquid investment like a stock that you can just sell. I mean, you're stuck with it once you make that decision, which is usually, you know, works out very well, but you have to be careful because there are some pitfalls to watch out for. Hopefully that answers your question.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. You mentioned at the last part, liquid parts. So do you mind sharing with us an example of like a recent deal that you did where, you know, there was X amount of investors and like X amount of dollars per investor, and then they got back such and such return, like kind of like a short story of a recent deal that you did?
Yeah. So we recently raised about a quarter of the capital stack for an $8 million acquisition. It was a self-storage acquisition in Texas, and 1,600, almost 1,700 units of self-storage. So this is a great example of a deal that we really like, because there's very limited downside. What it sort of looked like is a top tier operator, one that I've invested in with personally in the past, who have an excellent track record and really, really great execution skills. They came across this property. It was a portfolio of 4 self-storage facilities that was owned by a guy that inherited it from his father. Guy lived in California, properties in Texas, very mismanaged, didn't really know what he had. To give you an example of how badly it was managed, there were 150 of these 1,600 or so units that didn't even have paper leases. They were just handshake agreements and people paying in cash. So, but with that being said, the property was 90% occupied, and based on the purchase price and financing that we were putting in place, was going to cash flow on day one. So even if we did nothing, we're buying this property and it ekes out a little bit of cash flow. So it's like, well, pretty hard to go wrong with an acquisition like that. But in any case, we, like I said, we raised about a quarter of the $4 million required in order to purchase this. We came in as a large passive investor, and since acquisition, the operator has resealed the drive aisles, repaired the roofs, replaced some swing doors with roll-ups, done office renovations, rebranded the properties. They've auctioned off the units that have delinquent tenants. They've put auto payment with credit cards in place, with new staff at all the locations. And the property is, we acquired this 6 months ago. It's operating a year ahead of revenue projections, and it's cash flowing about 7%.
Okay. Wow. Okay. And then do the investors get like some sort of, do they get part of that cash flow on a like monthly basis, quarterly, annual basis?
Yeah, 100%. So the way that most of these syndications are usually structured is that there's a preferred return where the investors get 100% of the first part of the cash flow, right? So the first, this one's a 7% preferred return. So that means that 100% of the cash flows go all to the investors until the investors have made 7% return annualized on their money. And this is on a, it's distributed on a monthly basis. So if you took 7% of your investment amount divided by 12, that's what you'd, is what it's currently cash flowing. And then above and beyond that, if the property starts to throw off 8%, 10%, 12%, anything above 7% would be split 50-50 between the operator and the investors on this specific deal. And that can change up and down based on the deal, but that's a kind of a typical syndication structure, is where the operator says, hey, the investors get the first 7-8%-ish return on their money. We're not going to take anything other than our acquisition fee and asset management fee, which is really an administrative fee just so that they can pay for their legal fees and keep the lights on. The operator really doesn't start making money until the property really performs and exceeds that pref. Pref being the preferred return. So hopefully that kind of clarifies how the typical deal structure works. And so, yeah, our investors are receiving a monthly cash distribution.
Nice. So pretty much, you know, you mentioned a lot about the investor part of it. And something that we do is we work with bank on yourself type whole life policies, where we allow, or we show clients how they could kind of take control of those finances and be able to invest in more than one place. So when we utilize the, you know, infinite banking concept or the bank on yourself concept, it's not an either or approach. It's not either, you know, real estate investing or whole life insurance. Rather, there's a way that we combine them together, which is part of our principles of thinking like a bank. Now, is it possible?
Yeah.
Is it possible to, for example, if somebody has like $100,000 in a whole life policy, is that an acceptable form of funds that they could use to invest in a fund with you?
Absolutely. It's actually, we see that a lot. They kind of fit hand in hand. It works really nicely when you're investing passively. Is, you know, if you have one of those policies, you can borrow out of the policy to invest in a syndication deal that cash flows, and you're making arbitrage on the interest. So you're making money in two different places. We actually see that pretty often. That's a pretty common model that people use to add a little bit of extra gasoline on their returns.
Yeah, definitely. If you can have your funds, if you can have your money grow in a deal with you and in the whole life policy at the same time and earn kind of compound interest on both sides, I think it's a win-win. And it's also, it kind of creates more on the whole life policy, just an additional layer of insurance, since it is a life insurance policy, of course, alongside the cash benefits. Now, speaking of funds, where else could funds come from? What are some other acceptable forms of funds that you could use when investing in a fund with you?
Yeah. So there's a couple different places. You know, obviously cash out of your bank account is a common one, but certainly not the most creative. And you can juice your returns a little bit better if you're using something like an infinite banking policy. We also can accept Roth IRA. You know, if you have a self-directed IRA or Roth IRA, you can direct those funds without taking them out of the account. You can simply put it with a self-directed custodian, and your IRA can own, can invest in the syndication deal. If you have a self-directed 401k, that can also invest in a syndication deal. And then there are some deals that we can structure 1031 funds to come into. It gets a little bit more complicated, and we have to have other investors that want to come in as with 1031 money, but we can, in certain situations, accept 1031 funds.
Okay, that makes sense. Okay, so kind of some flexibility in terms. Could you borrow money from somebody else to invest in a fund?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, if you can, you can borrow money from your brother to buy a Ferrari. You can certainly borrow money from your brother to invest with us. It's probably your brother's going to be a lot happier when you pay him back after investing with us versus going out and buying a car. That's for sure.
Okay, nice. Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Now, you know, you mentioned a lot, and this kind of, I think, aligns really well with thinking like a bank, right? We're not just, you know, doing active investing. We're moving money instead of, for example, sitting in a bank account. Rather, it could sit with a trusted syndicator or syndication fund, and you can get a higher rate of return. typically. And also I like, what I really like about real estate is are the certainty behind it, that you're investing in a tangible asset, not necessarily like investing in the stock market, where who knows what could happen to the stocks you're investing in, or mutual funds or other types of volatile investments. You're investing in actual properties with actual addresses and actual people. That's what I really like about that, and connecting that with thinking like a bank. You've mentioned a lot. Now I want to kind of get to know you a little bit more. What are some of your favorite books that you're reading right now?
Right now, I'm trying to build my team. And so I'm reading Traction by Gino Wickman. That has been an excellent book as far as business development goes. And I'm also reading a book by Michael Hyatt called Your World-Class Assistant, because I'm certainly in the market for one of those. So those are the two I'm reading right now. Definitely, I wouldn't say that those are my favorite books, but those are the ones that are really impactful to my business right now.
Nice. Okay. And with being a pilot and running Turbine Capital, I'm sure you're really good at managing your time and kind of efficient. What are some things that you do that you can kind of share with us that you do to share to manage your time properly so that we could do more than one thing?
Well, I'll give you kind of the fun answer to this. You know, as an airline pilot, we enjoy really great schedules. We have a lot of flexibility. We get a lot of time off. You know, I typically, these days I work about 15 days a month. When I was a first officer on the wide body flying international trips, there were a lot of years where I only flew 10 days a month, 12 days a month. So 18 or 19 days off, depending on if it was a 30 or 31 day month. So have a lot of time off and you fly for free. And so it's a community of big kids. I could tell you that it's a fun colleague group, because a lot of people with a lot of hobbies and a lot of other skills and a lot of guys that do really cool things. They're always, you know, on ski trips or mountain bike trips or sailing or fishing or doing all sorts of stuff. So we do have in this career a luxury of quite a bit of time off. So the time management, you know, has been not necessarily a huge challenge over the past year, especially with it being COVID and, you know, the big pandemic, and been flying a bit less in 2020 as I was starting this company than normal. But it's been a learning curve, you know, running, building a business and having to manage my time on my own accord is not something that I was traditionally trained in. And so it's been fun. It's been a learning process, and I think I'm getting better at it every day, but certainly haven't mastered it. So if you have any tips, send it my way.
Nice. Okay. And this question, you kind of already answered it, the third one, which is how do you deal with your stress? When you do have stress, how do you deal with it?
Well, I live back and forth between the Nevada side of Lake Tahoe and Hawaii. I'm based here in Honolulu, so I like to pick up a surfboard and jump in the ocean.
Nice. Okay. It doesn't sound very stressful living in Hawaii.
It's not too bad.
Nice. Okay. How can listeners connect with you?
Certainly jump on my website. So the company's called Turbine Capital. The website's Turbine Cap, C-A-P. So TURBINECAP.com. You can sign up for our newsletter. And if you want to reach out to me directly, feel free to just ring my phone, text me. I'm at 808-936-7120. Always would love to talk real estate with anybody who's around. And you can email me as well, Tait, T-A-I-T, at turbinecap.com.
Awesome, Tait. Thank you so much for being on our show.
Thanks, Sari. Appreciate you having me on. Take care.
Thank you. You too. To learn more about what we do and how we can help you grow more wealth, please visit www.finassetprotection.com. That's F-I-N, assetprotection.com. The topics presented in this podcast are for general information only and not for the purposes of providing legal, accounting, or investment advice. On such matters, please consult a professional who knows your specific situation.